Testing.
Good, it's working. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Today is Tuesday, July 1st. By the way, happy July 1st. And this is our meeting. We'll start, first of all, with the roll call.
All council members are present.
We're good. Thank you very much. Next, we have the invocation from Captain John Burks, Salvation Army.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this beautiful day today. We ask that as we are here to meet, to plan for the future of the city of Bullhead City, that your Holy Spirit would be a part of that. Lord, that we be guided by you to make the best decisions for the people that live here. We love you and we worship you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Next, we have an update from Mojave Electric Corporation. Cooperative, I'm sorry. Thanks, Terry.
All right, if we can get that slideshow pulled up, please. While he's pulling that up, Vice Mayor, Council, and staff, appreciate you guys inviting us to do this update. Hopefully everybody finds it informational and educational. We're going to go over quite a few things, got a lot of topics to cover. With that, we'll get started with a little bit of a history, fun lessons on Mojave Electric. Mojave Electric was founded in 1946, July 3rd, actually. So we're 2 days away from celebrating our 79th year in Mojave Electric. So our first 5 miles of line was built in 1947. Which served about 90 meters. So pretty, when we think about that and 79 years later to where we're at today, that's pretty impressive and what the pioneers did back then. So with that, we'll go ahead and get started. Again, a lot of topics to cover. The first one we want to talk about that nobody likes to talk about, even Mojave Electric, is outages. As you can see, with the outages that we have them grouped in categories. These categories are to help us kind of look back from the previous year or years to see where we need to focus our attention to. So going down the list here, we've got transmission provider and prearranged at zero. Prearranged is one of those ones where obviously it's pre-planned. We do send out either emails or notifications of some sort to members. We try to do about 5 days ahead of time. If we can't, we'll knock on doors and make personal phone calls. But if you don't get those type of notices, contact member services and they'll be able to help you get on that list. It's through Smart Hub and not the app. You have to go through actual Smart Hub through the computer. Then we go through storm. We all know we get storms out here. We got high winds and lightning. So we've had 8 so far this year. Bird outages, we're at 20. Again, this is one of those ones that could be mitigated a little bit with the help of the community, not feeding the birds. That's a big one for us. We do have devices out there that help mitigate these outages too as well, but unfortunately there's a lot of pigeons out here. What typically happens, just kind of get it through you guys' kind of thought process there, but what typically happens with these is you have a transformer. We'll take a transformer, for example. And it's grounded on the outside, meaning it goes down to the ground. Well, there's a high voltage line that comes in to the top of the transformer, and if that bird lands on a grounded tank, right, and touches the primary with another part of the body, it's going to find that path to ground, and it's going to be the fault, okay? No different than you touching a battery, positive and negative cable at the same time, you're going to get some sort of jolt, right? In this case, it's 14,000 volts that bird sees, though, instead. A little different than 12 volts, but it gives you an idea. Zero outages for fire distribution equipment. We've had 14, so this would be similar to what we experienced on June 14th with one of the first large outage that we had in June, where we had a 600 amp dead end plug fail on that. And so that's that category there. Also, transformers would be in that category. Unknown causes, zero, which is always good. Trees, one. We'll talk about that a little bit later in this presentation. And if I go too long, you guys can tell me to stop, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on how the community can help out. Public caused, we had one. Again, this is related to public out there, and we'll talk more on how the public can help us mitigate those too as well. Underground cable, we had 12 so far this year, so this will be similar to what we experienced the second large outage on June 20th, where we had an underground cable fault. So we are currently right now looking to restore that. We're working in that direction. Unfortunately, with underground, it does take at times a little longer to restore, but we will get it restored. And thankfully for a redundant system here in Bullhead City, we were able to get everybody back on pretty quick. And then vehicles, we've had zero so far this year. Meters. So we've had 313 meters, new meters coming online. Just kind of give you a comparison. At the same time, in the end of May, we had 249 last year. So we're up to breaking last year's record, and we've seen this uptick since 2021, as I'm sure you guys are all aware that this has been going on. If this continues, we'll definitely break that 806, which you've seen last year. I think the year before that was close to 900, maybe even a little bit more, 900. So again, we see this trend going, and it's not stopping. Annual member increases. So you can see that the members and accounts or meters, they differ a little bit. The difference is the membership. A member can come in and apply for service to multiple different services. Maybe a contractor that comes in wants service at a couple different locations. That's one member with multiple meters. Okay, so that's why the difference in numbers there. This has no correlation to population. A little bit maybe, but. Obviously we have a lot more than 38,000 population growth in here. So last year in 2024, we had 604 members, new members come on. This year we're at 329, so we're over double, or over half, I should say, with 2024. So again, if this growth continues, we'll surpass that 604 number. Future growth. 10-year forecast. So this is what we do on an annual basis. We look at, matter of fact, we look at even further than 10 years, but this is just an example of the 10-year growth that we do. For residential small commercial, we're at 1.3% per year. So we're at the end of the 10 years, that's 13% growth. That's pretty substantial. Small commercial, 1.5% per year, and energy consumption, 1.6% per year. Again, so at the end of the 10 years, you're at 16% growth. This is why we've really been focused on some of the battery initiatives that we put in, solar, and then also those gas generation too as well. So, rates, another topic nobody likes to hear, but it's gotta be looked at. So the costs, we are currently going through a cost of service study, evaluating. Everybody has seen the cost of goods and services go up. We're not immune to that. We also see that too as well, and so does the public. So we are looking back our test year at 2024 to see and see what costs and services have increased for us, and then what we're bringing in to make sure it makes sense. We are evaluating that right now. We should probably have something back within the next couple months, and then we'll inform the members should there be an adjustment of any type. One thing I want to point out though, in 2023, it's the KRTA, which is a key ratio trend analysis. It's a third-party company that takes all of our information. Actually, it takes 812 cooperatives nationwide information, and it rates us. So, and for the controllable cost, we are near the lowest controllable cost. We're pretty proud of that. We're 11 out of 11 in Arizona, which we're very proud of that. So we're the lowest controllable cost in Arizona. Energy saving tips. We're going to go through some tips here. I'm not going to read them all. There's a lot to go through. I'll be up here for the next 20 minutes. I'm sure I want to make sure everybody stays awake. So we'll tackle a couple of them here. Well, first one is change your thermostat by 1 degree, saves you about 3 to 5% on your energy usage, so your kWh usage. So make sure and keep that in mind. Refrigerators, if you're like me and have a refrigerator out in the garage to keep those beverages cool, just know that those are a big consumption, energy consumption. You gotta think about the heat that they're in the garage at 100 plus degrees, and it's trying to keep your refrigerator at 50 or 60 degrees. So, cooling tips: cook outside when you can. Again, that's energy consumption too as well to help you out. Also keeping you cool. Stay hydrated. Drink lots of water. We all know we're dead of heat right now, next week anyway. And make sure we're all staying hydrated. And then get the AC checked out. A good running AC is going to save you money in the long run. So make sure you have an AC technician check that out. Check the refrigerant, motor, and everything else there. Safety tips. Monsoon season, it is here. It is upon us. Hopefully everybody's ready for it. Make sure you guys have multiple flashlights. Keep batteries in a cool place. I keep mine personally in the refrigerator. So make sure you have water available. And then keep electronics, important electronics, backed up with a battery backup. This isn't so you can keep using an electronic device, but so that way you can safely power it off. You don't want to lose those important documents that you've been working on or anything like that. And also it's good for the electronic device to be properly shut down too. And the most important thing out of this slide here is secure carports and outdoor items such as it states here, furniture and awnings along with trampolines. Every year it seems like we always get awning, a trampoline, storage shed, something in our lines. So please, we'll ask the public to make sure that everything is secure for this monsoon season and hopefully have a safe one. Continued on monsoon, again, seek shelter during a monsoon season. Do not take a bath or shower. There are, it's kind of an interesting one, but there are times, or it has been known, for lightning to hit an above-ground water structure of some sort and have that follow the water line into a home, and you can get, shocked. Wait 30 minutes afterwards. The 30 minutes after a storm is just making sure that the storm is fully passed and it's safe to go. Generators, do's and don'ts. Do place the generator, it says 15 feet. If you can go further, by all means, go further. Let the generator cool down before filling up and make sure it's on a level surface. The do not run your generator indoors. The carbon monoxide, obviously we don't want anybody getting hurt. And then the most important one out of this one is backfeeding. And what backfeeding is basically when you plug a generator into your home, you're not only, if you do not have the proper disconnect switch, you are not only feeding your home power, but you're gonna feed the system power too as well. It's gonna physically go back through the system into our power lines. That puts our crews at danger if you don't have the proper equipment. So if you are planning on putting a portable generator or a permanent generator, please make sure you contact the city and or county. Make sure you get the proper permits for that, and we'll make sure on our side that your equipment is safe for our crews too as well. Electrical fires, do's and don'ts: cut the power if you have if you can do it safely. Make sure you unplug that device that caught on fire. Use the fire extinguisher. Class C is the recommended fire type. Most fire extinguishers these days are class A and A, B and C, but make sure it's class C. Little more on that, there are annual inspections for your fire extinguishers too as well, just in case people didn't know. Just to make sure that the powder, over time, it does compress and it could clump up and not be effective. So make sure you guys are doing an annual inspection. There's also a 6-year and a 12-year inspection that goes a little bit more depth into fire extinguishers. And do not use water, right? Water is conductive. Tree and power line safety. So this is one of those ones where we talked about in the beginning with the outages, with the tree. If you're planting a tree, look up, make sure there's no power lines right above it where you're planting your tree. If you need help, call our member service office, call our customer service office, and we'll be happy to get somebody out there and kind of help you guide you where you need to go and safely. We try to keep the 15 foot what we call circle of safety, and that's just for the wind out here, so that way when the wind's blowing, you're not getting the leaves or branches caught up in the power lines too as well. So again, please make sure you look up. The other thing on this too as well is make sure you have a qualified trimmer trim your trees. If for some reason you forget and the tree does get into the power lines, we will go out there and trim it for free once. The second time there may be a charge, but we will go out there the first time and trim it for free once. So make sure you give us a call. We'd rather do it, especially when it's in the power. We'd rather have our qualified technicians go out there and cut the trees than have somebody get hurt. 811, so this goes to public cost outages. Make sure that you have a shovel to dirt. It is mandatory. You call 811. This allows the utilities about 3 days to get out there and locate all underground utilities. So this goes along with all utilities, water, sewer, gas, electric, and even communications. So again, anytime you put shovel to dirt, you're supposed to call 811. And this is just a few examples of why you should, or what you should be calling them on: mailbox, fence, deck, planting a tree. Community events. So this is some of the community events that we're active in. Everybody knows National Eye Out. Making the Accidents Disappear is a magic show that we go around to different schools every year, and a magician gives some electrical safety on and does a magic show too as well. Kids really enjoy that. Continued on with the Boombox Parade. Of course, everybody knows about that. A huge event here in this town. River Fund's Duck Pluck, our own CEO, Tyler Carlson, dressed up there in his little duck suit. So that's pretty good. And the Bullhead City Drone Camp. This one we're proud of too as well. Our own drone pilot, Jared White. He's been instrumental in this. We started this program back in the middle of 2023. It's been very helpful, not only on the educational side with the kids, as you can see here too, but also on our overhead power lines inspection. So he's been doing that here, like I said, since the middle of 2023, and we've been finding some good things out there. And with that, is there any questions? I'll be here until the end, so thank you so much.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, just so the council knows and the community, so after we sunset the Franchise and License Commission, the idea was every other month or so, the utility companies would be invited at the beginning of the meeting to give a presentation before call to the public. So there is an opportunity, a call to the public, for those who are interested to make comment or future meetings. That being said, I would like to just make a comment about Jerry's conversation. We work hand in hand with MEC on those power outages, including the ones recently, and he's in direct communication with our dispatch and our emergency services personnel. Obviously, no one likes to have their power off, but kudos to them for working very hard to get it back up and taking care of our community. And so our law enforcement folks and public safety folks wanted to know, they appreciate that. And the one thing people want to know is, when's it coming back on? And, you know, that's the question we're always asking him. And he, you know, is doing his best to get us that answer. And usually it's very quickly. So we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, next we'll have a call to the public. If you're an individual, you're going to speak by yourself. You get 3 minutes. If there's five of you, you get 5 minutes. And if there are five of you, you have to ask for your 5 minutes, because if you don't, you won't get it. So, who's going to be first? Okay, Gary.
Good afternoon, Vice Mayor, Council. Hope everyone is staying warm. The ham man is here, but not in that official capacity. Gary Genovese, representing the We Care for Animals this time. And the We Care for Animals this time is a trap, neuter, and release program. They are going to have at the Mojave Steakhouse on Sunday, July 13th, from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., one of those taco beans fountain drink luncheon dinner type of thing that you get. Pay $15, And part of that goes to the Trap, Neuter, and Release program. There'll be raffle prizes, 50-50, and these benefit that TNR program. And many people, I think Toby said it about a year or so ago, a couple of years ago, that there might be upwards of over 20,000 feral cats roaming the streets of Bullhead City and the surrounding area. So these folks go out and trap the feral cats. Then they take them to a facility that will neuter them or spay them as the sex requires, and then they return them after they're vaccinated and deemed healthy back to the original spot that they were trapped. Now, when they do this, of course, they don't eliminate the feral cat, they just trap it, neuter it, and release it back. So there's no euthanization situation here. And what you end up with is, if you have a boy kitty, well, they're roaming the neighborhood shooting blanks. And if you have a girl kitty, well, she's most likely to say, "Not tonight, dear, I have a perpetual headache." So this actually helps the community to eliminate the overpopulation, which we probably already have now, but it tries in their own way to keep it under control. So remember, Mojave Steakhouse, Sunday, July 13th, 11 to 8. You walk in, you buy a ticket, you help out, get some tacos, some beans, a fountain drink, and it will benefit the We Care for Animals. And we'd like to see you all there. We'll probably be there later in the afternoon ourselves. So thank you.
Thank you very much. Next.
Captain John Birch with the Salvation Army. Just want to let you know that we are in our camping season, where we take youth in the community over to Heber, or where our camp is for our division. The Southwest Division is not only in here in Arizona, but also New Mexico and Southern Nevada as well. Our first camp last week, we took seven campers from the area there on Monday, and then brought them back on Friday. They had a really good time. It was a lot of questions driving there every mile. Captain John, what is this? Captain John. Some of these kids have never really ventured out of Bullhead City. So we are reaching those who are the most vulnerable or the poorest of the community that might not have even had the chance to leave Bullhead City, or rarely leaves the area of Bullhead City. So they got to see pine trees through Flagstaff, and then they saw more desert, and then they saw more pine trees as we got into Heber. So it was kind of cool with that. Last year, we only were able to take seven kids for the whole summer. So we've already met from what we did from last year. And we just took, this is our teen camp this week. So we took kids yesterday. And my wife is Captain Misty Burks, is staying to help facilitate part of that camp. And then I go back on Wednesday night, and then we bring the kids back on Thursday. And then on Saturday, we brought eight kids to teen camp. So they'll be coming back Thursday. And then on Saturday is our music and fine arts camp. And we're taking, at this point, 16 kids to that. As soon as we get back on Thursday, we're going to go to Las Vegas at the Las Vegas Citadel Corps to switch out a vehicle. So we have a 16-passenger bus in order to help bring those kids to camp and back. And then the Monday after, we're going to send another, I think we have five signed up. I think we have one or two spaces left for that camp. So just know that the Salvation Army, we do social services. We help with food and clothing, but we also help out with camping ministry, emergency disaster services. Right now, they're helping over in Roswell with some of the flooding that's happening there, and there's a couple of fires that are being responded to with the Salvation Army as well in the area. Just know that I could probably talk another 3 hours about what the Salvation Army does. around our area and in the division. We do the best we can where we can. Thank you so much. You have a good day.
Thank you. Anybody else?
This is my first time ever doing this, so I apologize. I am a resident of Mojave.
Before you start, can you give us your name?
Teresa Becker.
Thank you.
And I live in Holiday Shores, and I'm here to talk about the access to the river that have been threatened to close. I believe that it would be a depreciation of my property that I bought in 2018 for this reason that I had access to the river. It's about two blocks away from the river, but I'm able to walk there and my family's able to enjoy it. I do suggest maybe a gate with a key card for the locals in Holiday Shores to keep their price and value of their homes instead of depreciating their value of their homes because we will not have access to the river. I do have proof that I do live there. I don't think that you need to see that. If you do, I do have it. My family appreciates that river there. It allows the community to get together. It is a peaceful community, and I believe that the people that go down there are friends, family members, and they're all local. That's it. That's all I have.
Thank you very much.
Good evening, Vice Mayor and City Council, and Toby Cotter. Well, we're getting ready for the 4th of July, and I hope it's wonderful for everybody. We're going to a swim party, so that should be fun. Anyway, I'm up here to promote the 81st Annual Republican Picnic. It's on July the 26th, which is a Saturday at 10 a.m. The tickets are $30. Children under 12 are free. We do have also people that bring their own food, and admittance will be $10. We have all the dignitaries will be there, including Andy Biggs, who I'm supporting for governor, and all of the other dignitaries and candidates will be there to speak, including our own Rich Lettman. I also want to tell you about the gun raffle. We're having a commemorative gun that is a Trump weapon, and it is, we are selling tickets for that. Tickets are $5 for one, and you get five tickets for $20. And I have tickets today for the gun raffle and the entry. So if you're interested, please come see me after the meeting. And I hope that you all will come. It's one of the fun things we do once a year, and it's our biggest fundraiser for the year for the Republican Party in Mojave County. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Vice Mayor, Council, and staff. My name is Pamela Smith, and I am here to tell you that tomorrow, July 2nd, at Chaparral Country Club, 1260 Mojave Drive, Senator Hilde Angus will be speaking for the Republican women. We'd love to see you all there. There is no cost to attend. If you would like lunch, it's $15. And of course, you need to bring cash for 50-50 raffle tickets. Thank you. Have a good day. Oh, 11 o'clock.
Hi, everybody. My name's Janice Johnston. I'm here in Bullhead City. I wanted to let you all know that PFLAG Bullhead City now has a chapter in Bullhead City. We have completed the affiliation process from PFLAG National, and we'll be having an introductory meet and greet before long, and I'll be back up here to tell you about that probably in August when everybody's back from their vacations. But I just wanted to let you know we are expanding to accommodate all of the community. Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else? No takers? Okay. That's the end of the call to the public. Are there any items to be withdrawn from or moved to the appropriate place on the agenda?
I'll motion to waive the reading and full of all ordinances and resolutions passed for adoption at this meeting.
Second.
Six in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Okay, next we have a manager's report.
Thank you, Vice Mayor, Council members. Good afternoon. Just a few items this evening to report to Council and the community. Of course, this is the July 4th holiday, one of the big busiest of the summer season. Our public safety teams, police, fire, lifeguards, park attendants, public works, all of our partner agencies are prepared for the upcoming busy holiday summer weekend. We are anticipating thousands of visitors throughout the weekend at the lake, the river, the beaches, the parks, the hotels, and other often visited locations. We've been working with our partner agencies throughout the summer. Unfortunately, we have had one fatality on a Tuesday afternoon when there were very few people on the river. This weekend, there will be hundreds of people, maybe thousands at certain times on the river and on the lakes. There will be a lot of law enforcement out there. So if you know anybody using the river or the streets, tell them to be safe and find designated drivers, because there will be a lot of enforcement this weekend. And all we can do is warn people. The Game and Fish has already warned people for the lake as well. So drinking and driving is a bad idea anytime, but it's a really bad idea this weekend. We did begin our new fiscal year today. The City Council adopted our budget at the last few meetings, and so we're happy to report we have a new balanced budget that we're working on. A lot of significant priorities for the community, including our new animal shelter, which is the former Mojave Daily News building on Miracle Mile. We anticipate that opening around January 1st. So that is one of the main priorities. Of course, people are excited about new indoor pickleball courts, street maintenance, all the things that we've been doing for our police department. It's the largest public safety police budget the city has ever had. And of course, new officers, 7 new police vehicles, which is on the agenda tonight, new equipment, and an array of other amenities that we'll be providing to the public. Stay tuned. Every first and third Tuesday of the month, we meet right here, and all those things will be presented to the City Council. Things will be bought, things will be done, right turn lanes will be put in. There's a lot of fun things that happen. Come in and enjoy the fun at our meetings, and you'll see all of those goals and objectives being accomplished throughout the year. The third item, we did finish up our summer camp. Congratulations to Dave Heath, Claire Adams, and their team at the Recreation Department. They had 860 participants in the summer camp series. That's a really great number for kids. Most of the activities were indoors. One of the council members, actually the vice mayor, had asked me for a quick update on the cell service. And I just wanted to let the council know, and our former council member Rich Lettman is here. He asked us to hold a workshop on that before he left the council and make sure that we were doing everything we could to incentivize, encourage, remind cell providers that we're here and we've got a few spots that could use improved service. We've done that. We've sent letters. We're open for business. So if those cell providers contact us or their consultants, we're certainly looking forward to meeting with them and improving service throughout the community. We know everybody relies on their cell phone. And then finally, not on the list, but I just wanted to bring up, there is a press release that was sent out today. We have someone in town who's stealing bronze plaques, including down at the Veterans Peninsula and our Veterans Park. So those plaques that recognize our veterans were stolen. And so, you know, that individual will be found. We're pretty confident of that. There was also a backflow preventer that was taken. So all those plaques, they're very expensive, though. Those bronze plaques you see with names and mostly memorial or in recognition of, those are $1,000 each. So that was a big take. And so we're going to make sure that every pawn shop, every recycling person around, you know, the Southwest knows that we're looking for our bronze plaques back. If you took them, you might want to just bring them back. It's, you know, that's $10,000 plus of bronze plaques that someone took. So our police department is looking for them, and they're looking for you if you took them. So we'll be happy to take them back. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Toby. Appreciate it very much. Now, Mayor and Council members, reports on current events. I've got a couple items. Does anybody else have anything? Go ahead.
Bullhead City Food Bank down there on Hancock Road, they always need volunteers. I volunteer down there a lot. And on Thursday nights, especially from 2 to 8, I have about 19 guys that work there that are the guys in the men's program. There's probably a rotating group of 10 or 11 civilians that come through there. And that's the one night of the week that we really need a lot of people down there to help out. Even if you got a couple hours, food bank's open 5 days a week. You come down there and we'll put you to work for an hour or something. It's really rewarding getting food out to the public. And there's a lot of people. They're averaging 200 people every time they're open. Over 200 different families are getting food. And it's 60, 70 pounds of food for each family. So if you got some free time, please come on down. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, I have two things. They're reminders. Rotary Park, there's a charge on 4th of July. So if you're not a resident of Bullhead City, you get in free if you're a resident. But if you're not, there is a charge. Just as a reminder, go prepared with some money. The second thing is Rockets Over the River, 9 o'clock on 4th of July. All the hotels on the other side of the river are going to go gangbusters on this one here. So it'll be real exciting. Hopefully everybody can enjoy it as well. And play safe, stay hydrated. Nobody has anything else? We'll go to any, are there any items to be withdrawn from the consent agenda?
Yes, Vice Mayor Alfonso, I would like to pull item number 5.
Okay.
And I would motion to approve items number 1 through 4.
Vote.
6 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Mr. Cotter, I just wanted a simple clarification on item number 5. This is for street lighting district improvements. In Exhibit A that is attached, there is also water districts that are not within Bullhead City. And I just want to confirm that the $65,000 is for the street lighting districts that are within Bullhead City.
That is correct, Council Member. You see the packet provided to us from the county, which lists those special improvement districts. So those street lighting districts in Bullhead are the ones that are being charged this tax, have for many decades. Those water districts are not in the city and are not being taxed by the city. In fact, all of this goes through the county. So essentially, by passing this, you're letting the county know that those lighting districts are still in place. We're basically paying the electrical charge of those districts that were set up, and the county then puts that small tax on that tax bill for those neighborhoods.
Okay, thank you. I will motion to approve item number 5.
Six in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number 6, discussion and possible action to appoint 2 citizens to serve on the Bullhead City Board of Appeals. There are 2 vacant partial terms beginning July 1st, 2025 and expiring on June 30th, 2026, and 1 vacant full term expiring July 1st, 2025 and expiring on June 30th, 2027. There are 2 applicants and 3 vacancies.
Vice Mayor, council members, you do have two people for two positions. It would be suggested that you make those in separate motions because there are two people and the positions are actually a little bit different in their staggered term.
Okay. Okay. For line item six, there are two gentlemen that are applying, Bruce Henderson and Enrique Reyna, if I pronounce that right. Are they here today? Okay, then what we'll do is we'll appoint Bruce Henderson to serve on Bullhead City Building Board of Appeals to fill a full term.
Second.
Six in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Okay, the next individual, it's council to appoint Enrique Reyna to serve on the Bullhead City Building Board of Appeals to fill a partial term.
Second.
Vote.
Six in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number seven, discussion and possible action to approve the purchase of seven vehicles from Phil Long Dealerships under the Educational Services Cooperative Quote Number 02-1025-1, dated February 10, 2025, in the amount of $432,103.31, and authorize the city manager to issue resultant payments.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members, as you saw in the budget, we did budget for new vehicles for our police department. Captain Harms can give a brief description and answer any questions you have.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter. Vice Mayor, Council, this request is for the approval to purchase seven 2025 Ford Utility SSV Expeditions. The seven vehicles are proposed to be purchased from Phil Long Dealership, Inc. The dealership affords the city cooperative selling prices it offers as a bidder under the Cooperative Educational Services of Albuquerque, New Mexico, through the TIPS Co-op, for a total of $432,103.31. Five of the vehicles will be used in the Patrol Bureau and two will be used as command staff vehicles. And as Mr. Cotter indicated, this was budgeted for the 25-26. I stand for questions if you need any further details.
Anybody have any questions? I have one. Can you tell me the warranties on these vehicles?
Yes, sir. They come with a standard 3-year, 36,000-mile bumper-to-bumper, and then the 5-year, 100,000-mile powertrain. We work closely with Ms. Johnson's staff, and we found that that's been working out good for us so far.
Real good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Public, anybody out in the public have any questions or comments?
From Holiday Shores. I work
now,
with...
Could you, first of all, can you give us your name?
Kim Villalobos.
Thank you very much.
I work with Odessa Carvana, or retail and wholesale remarketing for automotive. I was wondering, are these units coming from Denver, Colorado, or New Mexico? And why not go to, like, somewhere close, because transportation is like 9,001. So just trying to gain some knowledge.
So they do usually come in from Denver or Albuquerque. What we found last year, I think, if you recall, we did do some from Peoria Ford and some from Phil Long due to supplies. And what we found is closer was actually more expensive. The shipping costs were still there. There was delays in getting the vehicles to the police department. Phil Long has been very reliable in getting them in a quick manner. What has happened in the past is to fulfill the order. Sometimes we end up in December or January. We're towards the end of the budget cycle. And then to get the upfit, which will be the next part I come back to council for, the light bar, the cage, all the police package, we just run out of time.
Yeah, that is a good price, actually. And it does come with the tow hitch, so a package. So I was just like, okay, just wondering. There's got to be a reason. I just didn't know what it was. And I worked with Ford Motor Credit for quite a few years. And just if it helps, Ford Motor Credit does have a packet or a program for municipalities that if you need a 30-day extension for payment, doesn't have to be due on receipt. I was the one to put in for a 30-day, 90-day, whatever your extension is needed, just so you can outfit those units. So something that I know of that I'd like to share. But, you know, if you don't see any value in that, probably not something you would look into. But thank you so much. This is awesome. 70 units, yay. And Phil Long is amazing. That dealership is amazing. Since 1964, so yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
I make a motion we approve item 7 as read.
Second.
6 in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Number 8, discussion and possible action to 1, ratify the issuance of the notice to proceed for the purchase of 7 APX8500 radios under quote number 315-4009, dated June 4, 2025, in the amount of $65,383.87, and authorize the city manager to issue resulting payments.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members, it's a ratification for the radios. For these new vehicles, we are going to buy them no matter what. The chief came to me and said if we buy them before July 1st, we'll save over $4,000. So we signed off on that, and this is just a request for your ratification. These are the radios we use, so I appreciate the chief and captain. You know, hey, every $5,000 we can save is something we can use for something else.
Totally agree. Another thing to mention, the fact that that Motorola, you don't want to interface any other radios with them. We use Motorola radios now. They're good with everything that we do. Is that correct?
Correct. Everything that we're building on is Motorola, so we're looking, you know, obviously at the public safety encryption and just unity of the system altogether. That's where our dispatches, all our systems up there are Motorola, and now our CAD and RMS.
Thank you very much, Captain. Okay, can I have a motion? Anyone from the audience have any comments on that one? I see no one with any comments. Let me have a motion on that.
I make a motion we approve item 8 as read.
Second.
6 in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number 9, discussion and possible action to ratify the city manager's execution of the Baker Tilly US LLP engagement letter for professional auditing services for fiscal year 2025, ending 2025, fiscal year 2024-2025, in an amount not to exceed $77,405, and authorize the city manager to issue resulting payments.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members, Baker Tilly is our auditing firm. They're a national firm that does audits of municipalities that are mid-size and larger. This is an item in front of you to pay for those services. Finance Director Robert Drexler and I stand for any questions.
Does anybody have any questions? Anybody out in the audience have any questions? Okay, then I'll take a motion.
Motion to approve item 9 is read.
Second.
6 in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number 10, discussion and possible action to adopt resolution number 2025-R-31, approving an intergovernmental agreement between the City of Bullhead City and Clark County for animal drop-off location.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members, Bullhead City and Clark County have had this agreement for many years. Laughlin doesn't have a shelter per se, and so if there is a stray, folks from Las Vegas have to come down. It's very inefficient for Clark County. They're a great partner of ours in many ways, from public safety to building bridges and all the things we do with Clark County and Laughlin. I ask for your ratification of this agreement. It's very rarely used, but for Clark County, it's very efficient government. For us, we're building a new shelter, so a stray every once in a while from Laughlin is no impact on us. They do reimburse us for those costs, and they do come pick up the animal very quickly.
Anybody have any questions? Nope. Anybody in the audience have any questions, comments, clarifications, or anything? Okay, we'll close that one. I'll take a motion.
Motion to approve item 10 as read.
Second. 6 in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number 11, discussion and possible action to adopt resolution number 2025-R-32, expressing the Bullhead City Council's intent to increase water and sewer rates and setting Tuesday, September 2nd, 2025 at 5:30 p.m. for a public hearing on the new proposed water and sewer rate structures, and will consider that the time rates and structures not exceeding those as outlined in Bullhead City Water and Sewer Rate Study dated June 26, 2025.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, Council, our Assistant City Manager, Eddie Kajera, will present this item.
Good evening, Vice Mayor and Council, and City Manager Toby Carter. Staff has come before you twice to present the utility rate increase. We have gone over the water and sewer rates in great depth. You also have that packet as part of your attachment today on this particular agenda item. The main changes that you will see will be on page 47. Staff did go back to look at the eligibility criteria for the UADP assistance program, which is basically the utilities assistance program that we want to roll out in addition to the utility rate increases. So with this, previously we were looking at utilizing the federal government poverty guidelines, and that was at 100%. After doing further analysis and looking at our community, the social, economic, demographics, and everything else, at 100%, it really doesn't make sense. Not too many families are able to take benefit of that program. So we did go ahead and make a change to that to reflect 200%, which will cover more families. And just for some additional information, I'll take you through what those changes will reflect for a family of a family or a household that has one person. At 100%, we were looking at $15,650 for annual income. At 200%, that figure is being increased to $31,300. For a household or family of two, that at 100%, we were previously looking at $21,150. Now at 200%, that will be $42,300. And a household or family of three, previously that was $26,650. That will now be $53,300, and a family of four was at 100%, which will be $32,150, and now we're looking at $64,300. So obviously at $15,650, it really doesn't cover a lot, I think, keeping in mind where our economy is, and we believe with this change, this program should be beneficial for a larger portion of our residents. Other than that, the item before you does ask for your approval to go ahead and adopt the resolution setting Tuesday, September 2nd at 5:30 and issuing the notice of intent for that particular public hearing and comment period. I stand forward for any questions.
Anybody have any comments regarding that?
Yes, Vice Mayor Alfonso, I do have a comment.
Okay.
Reliable water and wastewater systems are more than a modern convenience. They are a critical component in our daily lives. Failures in the water system can occur any time of the day, weekends, holidays, and after hours. This leads not only to water loss, but financial loss as well. The Bullhead City water system experiences on average one breakage a day. This is the reality of the system we own and the expected normal for the foreseeable future. Planned repairs of failing system components is more efficient and cost-effective. The utility assistance and discount program is an important component of a new rate structure. This is a very real savings for low-income, active-duty, deployed, and disabled veterans. I've had multiple meetings with Mr. Clark and Mr. Kajira regarding this proposed rate increase and have spent many hours going over these numbers. I have not been able to come up with a more responsible plan for Bullhead City residents. It is for these reasons that I support moving forward with the proposed rate structure.
Mr. Vice Mayor, I actually agree with moving forward, and I want to make sure that the public understands that public hearing is open. They certainly have an opportunity to address what they think is appropriate for this program for Bullhead City. And I want to say my appreciation to Eddie for coming up with something that will help those that are less able to afford this rate increase or the proposed rate increase anyway. So thank you, and thank you.
And Vice Mayor, if I could just piggyback on what the council member had just said. So just keep in mind, you know, the proposal for rates is scheduled for Tuesday, September 2nd at 5:30. So during that meeting, the public would have the chance, as Councilmember Head said, to come in to that meeting and talk about the proposed rates, the discounts, and all the things that are affected by that. That was one of the primary reasons the citizens of this community voted to take over EPCOR, was that rate making would be done right here in this room where they have every right to come talk. Remember, before, it was started in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and then it went to Phoenix to the Corporation Commission. No voice, no say-so in that matter, primarily. And so the public does have a chance to come in and look at those rates. And we reflected on this in a couple workshops that we had with council, that we've been looking at EPCOR's rates, and through that consolidation over 3 years ago, we would have been paying an extremely high rate. We've saved our community millions of dollars in that process, and we've been able to figure out a rate structure that is still less than the EPCOR consolidated rate. All of that's been explained at the workshops. The public can view those workshops online. They can also look at the documentation that Eddie was just talking about and going through what the council has in front of them, all the workshop materials. The rate case materials are all on the city's website at bullheadcity.com. We'd encourage everybody to look at it and come to the meeting on Tuesday, September 2nd.
At 5:30.
Mr. Vice Mayor, thank you, Toby. That's a great explanation of exactly what we're talking about, local control. And I want to make sure that the public knows that we really want to hear from you. We understand that a rate increase of any kind matters to everyone. 6 weeks after it happens and people say, I never had a chance, this is the chance. That's the whole purpose of that open public hearing, to talk about the rates. And we would really like those people that have an issue, have a concern, whether it's support or not supporting the particular item, we'd like to have you come and tell us what's on your mind, so that later people know they had a chance to speak. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd like to say just a few words, is that Eddie Kajira does one heck of a good job. And I know I've discussed this with him in the past as well, over the last few weeks. And he's done a monumental job putting this thing together that will make everybody pretty much pleased. When you hear the word increase, you don't like to hear increases. But on this one here, it's gradual, and at the same time, it helps the city to gain back some of the money that we've been spending for the, I guess it was the last 3 years, over $10 million, if I'm not mistaken, was saved from the public, not having to pay that amount because no rates were adjusted or increased. So now it's time we have to do that so that we can stay solvent when it comes down to using our water and what our rates are for sewage as well. Thank you very much, Eddie. I really appreciate it, and I'm sure everybody else does too. And with that, I take a motion.
Mr. Vice Mayor, I move to approve item 11 as read.
Second.
6 in favor of the motion. Motion carries. Item number 12, discussion and possible action to 1, set a special city council meeting for 10 a.m. on Tuesday, July 8, 2025, for the hearing of candidates and selection of a new council member, and 2, schedule the seatings of the new council member as well as the election of the mayor and vice mayor at a regular council meeting on July 15, 2025 at 5:30 p.m.
Vice Mayor Alfonso, council members, the agenda item is pretty self-explanatory, but let's just be clear. So Steve D'Amico resigned as mayor, so the council's first action is to select a new council member. And then at a meeting subsequent to that on July 15th, That person will be sworn in, and then a new mayor will be selected from the seven of you, and then a new vice mayor will be selected from the seven of you, or the same vice mayor, whatever the council decides to do. So the first item that the council needs to participate in would be next Tuesday, July 8th, right here in this room at 10 a.m., publicly televised, public votes by the city council on who will be selected to complete that rather short term of just over a year to fill that seat until the next election. So what we'd like to do right now is the city clerk would like to read the names of the 10 people who have applied for the position.
Yes, Vice Mayor, City Council, we did receive 10 statements of interest, and we received them from Beata Berry, Ellen Brown, Stephen Brown, Kenya Cribb, Bo Hyams, Scotty McClure, Jacqueline Miller, Pamela Smith, Kim Villalobos, and Annette Weigman-Wood.
Thank you, City Clerk. And so, Vice Mayor Alfonso, in the spirit of public transparency, the City Clerk and I would like to invite you and at least one other council member to help you by holding that bucket. And we'll start at 10 a.m. next Tuesday, July 8th. The names of those 10 people are in that bucket. And if someone wouldn't mind holding the bucket for the Vice Mayor, he can draw the names out. If you would then read the names, that'll be the order of the interviews and presentations by the council candidates.
First name, Annette Weigman-Wood. She'll be the first one who will be interviewed. The next name is, I hope I say this right, Beata Berry. The next one is Jacqueline Miller. The next one is Scotty McClure. The next one is Kim Villalobos. The sixth one is Bo Hellams. The seventh one is Pamela Smith. The next one is Kenya Cribb. The next one is Ellen Brown. And the last one is Stephen Brown.
Thank you, Vice Mayor. Just to clarify to all of those 10 people, we'll start at 10 o'clock. That is the order. The council intends to give each person that has submitted their nomination 5 minutes to make a presentation. Council can take as long as they desire for the Q&A component. The Vice Mayor and I have talked. It is his desire to continue without a break. So we'll start at 10 and we'll go until we're done. There may be some water and snack available here just so we can keep going, but we do not intend to take a lunch break or a noon break, so council members will come prepared to go. The candidates should be also prepared that it'll be a very seamless process. At the end of the interviews and the end of council questions, the clerk will present the council members with a ballot. Each council member will write the candidate of their choice along with their name on the ballot. The clerk will then read that off. There could be multiple rounds of balloting unless someone gets a majority 4 votes right off of the start of balloting. If that doesn't happen, council then can make a motion to continue with that, which is historically what the council has done, eliminating a few of the candidates who didn't receive any votes and then taking the top vote getters until the four of you agree by the secret ballots, if you will, that you have considered someone to receive the majority vote. At that point in time, someone could make a motion. So the public knows, even though the council is writing the candidate of their choice, they are putting their name down. The clerk does read that. Everyone knows who everyone voted for until council reaches a consensus. Unfortunately, we've had to use this process one too many times in my career with some of the great council members who passed away. This was, of course, because Steve D'Amico was hired by the MPO organization. So we're prepared for next Tuesday. Council members, any questions or concerns that you may have?
Yes, Vice Mayor Alfonso, I do have a question, Mr. Cotter. So if in the last appointment process, I think they specified three rounds of voting, and then if it was still a tie, that's when discussion or a motion would happen. Are we going to specify a certain number of rounds?
We're prepared to follow that same protocol if council would like to do that. That is the current policy, if you will, of the last time we did that. We could certainly follow that, but really the council is free to have discussions at your own. You're a different council than that past council. If you decide to have conversation amongst yourselves after a vote or before a vote, that's a policy decision you'll all make next Tuesday. But I think Mayor Brady, when he was doing that last process, was hoping that, you know, the votes would be done primarily privately, and then discussion happening after the vote, so that someone just didn't make a quick motion, and it was sort of the first person to make a motion is going to then put a person up for nomination. So that's why the current policy has been the ballot, of course, with your name on it.
I never wanted to do this as a council member, appoint somebody, but here we are. So yeah, I think that's a good process.
Mr. Vice Mayor, Mr. Cotter, just so that everyone is clear, when you say you can have a discussion, you mean from this Diaz in public?
Correct.
Now, nobody's going to break out and go visit with three or four people.
No.
Everything that happens is going to happen live right here for public consumption. So I just want to make sure we're
correct.
Clear on that.
Yeah. And so the conversation really the last time by Mayor Brady was after we vote, we vote again. After we vote, we vote again. There may be some period in there where one of you says, okay, we're at a standstill with our voting. Can we have some conversation about the merit of the candidates? But to council members' head, credit here, all of that will be done right here in front of the public on TV.
Okay, anybody else have any comments, clarifications, exceptions, or anything? Good, then what I'll do is I'll take a motion. Sorry about that. Come on, Eva. Eva Genovese.
Yes, Eva Genovese from Bullhead City. Is this going to be televised?
Yes.
Okay, great.
You could come up and speak.
Mr. Vice Mayor, I move to... Oh, did you have a comment?
Yeah, I wanted to say, I just read the packets of all 10 people, and I'm very appreciative for 10 people stepping up to try to fill this. Everybody's very qualified. It's going to be a tough vote. I'm not looking forward to it either. I don't think we can go wrong with any of the 10, but it's going to be a tough vote. Thank you.
Mr. Vice Mayor, I move to approve the item as presented with the list in the order you drew.
Second.
Thank you very much.
6 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Okay, with that, that was our last item on the agenda this evening. I want to thank you folks very much for your time, your trouble. Keep cool, and on a 4th, be safe. Okay? Thank you very much. Raise